Blog Talk Radio.
Do what? Revolution.
Holy heavens. Young little out of my league.
Is that what you're going to say when the revolution comes? When it's time to pick up a gun?
Well, what you know about weapons?
I'm qualified to handle a 45, an M16 rifle, 38 caliber pistol, and a Russian AK-47.
She said she never heard a shotgun bang close range.
Never ever.
The adrenaline that rushed through her veins. Woo! Got her feeling like a Sodom when she shot it. Now our guns seen together, revolutionary yapper. Low choppers got her working on a group and making sure that ain't proper. Certified headshot her. No ammo was wasted. Got her fro picked out like he's Angela Davis. Pistol waving, swear my queen is amazing. Exquisite flavor, I just want to taste the conversation. We stadio. Said she love my vibrations coming out the radio. Take the to another level, get a high on self-empowerment. Embrace the natural beauty, now she really feels what power is. Black fist held high up in the sky. Yeah, we some black guys, the white devil is a lie. She's my melanated masterpiece, a beauty so divine. Strongest pieces on the board, be the queen is by my side. So let's ride, windows tinted, guess who win it? Look, you've been it. Locks draping my shoulder, living my vision. Manufacturing black economics till we independent. She's my Betty Shabazz, let's make a difference. Coretta with a Beretta, Harriet in my chariot. The bond that we building is stronger than any marriage. Because I know you got my back through whatever shit. She's strong, black, and beautifully intelligent. My masterpiece.
Time for you.
Do what?
Revolution.
Holy heavens. Young little out of my league now.
Is that what you're going to say when the revolution comes? When it's time to pick up a gun?
Well, what you know about weapons?
I'm qualified to handle a 45, an M16 rifle, 38 caliber pistol, and a Russian AK.
She used to ask me, like, what's the extra water for? A curious mind, so yes, I taught her more. Practice preparation, baby, look, we gotta stay ready, yo. So we don't have to get ready. Tune in the radio, frequency, she speak to me. Keep me balanced, equal ratio. She shine like the moonlight, and even in the day she glows. Black rose, she arose to the throne. The queen for the king, I propose. Black love, yeah, solid like gold. Give you pure black power, revolutionary flows. And she knows that I'm focused on our people till my vocal cords no longer produce notes. I give you nothing but these quotes. Inspiration for the adolescents. Young guys in my presence. They feel your melanin, you smell the essence. I feel the tension in the air. You can't neglect it. All I see is power when I stare at my reflection. As long as you make the effort, it's all about progression. Learn a lesson. This medicine I wrote, I'm stopping stressing. Our connection is a universal bond of perfection. Check it, moving all across the board, regardless of complexion. Yeah.
Time to do.
Do what?
Revolution.
Holy heavens. Young little out of my league now.
Is that what you're going to say when the revolution comes? When it's time to pick up a gun?
Well, what you know about weapons?
I'm qualified to handle a 45, an M16 rifle, 38 caliber pistol, and a Russian AK.
Peace, family, peace, and black power. Welcome to Thinking Out Loud Thursdays, broadcasting live every Thinking Out Loud Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with your brother, the host, the founder of Duty Knowledge Radio. Knowledge born a lot. That phone number to call in, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. We've got a special guest by special request, the world renowned Thinking Out Loud Mind of Tubman City's own Nikki Justice is in the building, and we're going to see what's on her mind today as we think out loud on this Thinking Out Loud Thursday series. So tell a friend that we're on live, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. Becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some present to others and welcome back to Duty Knowledge Radio after a long, long, long time away. Our Thinking Out Loud Thursday guest, first guest by special request on this series. Nikki Justice is in the building.
Thank you. Peace, everybody. Thank you, Knowledge Born Alive, for having me.
It's Thinking Out Loud Thursday, and what would it be without me, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, that's right. Hit that share button, definitely. Like, share it. Turn it up loud, all right? Because we're about to be singing out loud, and we want everybody to hear this very important conversation. But before we go on, you do have something coming up in September. RBG, right?
Yeah, RBG Music Festival. We're gonna perform out loud. See, on Thursday we think out loud. You know, on that 14th, we're gonna be performing out loud. RBG Music Festival, first annual, first of its kind, a one-on-one type of situation. And the stage is gonna be set and packed with like 20 different artists, acts, different sets, different things going on. Family affair is going to be amazing. I am one of the hosts of the event, and it's going to be crazy, like that glue.
Yeah, where is it going to be? In Atlanta, correct?
Atlanta, in the A. In the A. Yeah.
All right, so catch the brother in the A. Now I'm just going to lie in the A. September, what is it again?
September 14th, Saturday, from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
All right, all right. Did you give the address?
I'm about to get the address right now, since you said something about something.
Mark your calendars, write it down.
Redeem Fruit Orchard. 1277 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30313. Tickets, $15 online. Ticket Bug. Get your tickets. If you are looking to vend or perform, you can email our brother Tut at rbgmusicfestival@gmail.com. Gmail.com. So, yeah. Going down.
All right. Got the announcements out the way. So it's Thinking Out Loud Thursday. So what's on your mind? Do you want to tell us about Thinking Out Loud Thursday? What's going on?
I want to know what the people want to know. What's on your mind? Not me. I'm good. I'm thinking. I've been thinking. Okay, so we're going. We're going to shift this focus to Nikki Justice. What is on your mind? Think out loud for us. Don't give it to Facebook. Give it to your brother. You understand what
I'm
saying?
Give it to the brother. Yeah. You got to ask me some questions or something. Okay. I don't know. Are we going to be taking calls?
Well, today is Dr. McCoy's birthday. You know what I'm saying? What are your thoughts on that situation? He was up for pardon, Dr. Mutula Shakur. He was up for pardon, and he was granted a parole that never was put into fruition. You know, so he's being railroaded after all of this time of being behind bars. He had to spend another one of his solar returns around the sun behind bars. So what are your thoughts on that? And I guess we could just go in from there.
He was involved in a self-defense action, correct, where something happened and it ended up that some officers were on the ground. Am I correct? Some officers were down. Are we on the same? Is that the same Mufulu Shakur we're talking about?
Yes.
And he is ended up in jail. Well, the thing about that is that self-defense is not violence. I'm seeing a lot of things happen to a lot of different people. We all know that the Black Liberation Army is very important, very needed. That a lot of these cases were actually put on a lot of our brothers and sisters at that point in time. And because of who the judges were, because of who the juries were, things did not go in their favor, and he has been in jail for a very long time. I'm not understanding why. Well, I do understand why he was never released. But, of course, I think he should be released. I mean, at some point in time, he's being released because that was the recommendation of the panel. There's some type of panel that they go before and things of this nature. I'm not exactly familiar with the whole parole and things of this nature. But I do think that he should be released 100%. 100%. I think that we should speak about certain cases a lot more than we do. And it just seems like a lot of people are out of sight, out of mind. And that's the way it goes, because there are several brothers and sisters that are still in jail, and we just don't think about it. And that's unfortunate. I definitely think that a lot of these jails should be open to a lot of different people at some point in time. But, of course, they're going to stick to, you know, the officers were killed and things of this nature, but they absolutely have no particular evidence in most cases. And in this case, I believe that he was the one that did it. He was the one. You see what I'm saying? There was some other things that happened where he may not have been the one that actually participated in ending these officers on duty. So I definitely think and today is his birthday, like you said, today is his birthday.
Well, you know, we celebrate them on this day in this particular month.
Dr. Matulu Shakur, excuse me, Dr. Matulu Shakur.
So, I mean, the world should take a note from this. There were a lot of strides that were made for black people in America and black people across the globe based off of what took place between 1957 and 1970. The world benefits from it. So, we look in here, we had Black August, and it was done to honor the warriors in the month, you know, particularly those behind enemy lines, you know. So a lot of things happened in the month of August that are very significant to our people. A lot of people born, a lot of people transitioned, a lot of movements were in place. So the focal point and center around, you know, Black August has been a theme for at least two decades now, maybe a little longer. So, you know, some of the people are doing different celebrations. People are gathering in different places and really trying to do, you know, some practical things in regards to health, in regards to wellness, in regards to fitness, in regards to, you know, educating ourselves and, you know, refraining from a lot of things, divesting ourselves from a lot of this activity that has been going on and not feeding into a lot of the negativity, you know, during this particular month. So for you, though, I'm interested in, you know, a lot has changed since, you know, we first have been in communication. So I really want to know, you know, what has changed, how things have changed, and how you've been dealing with a lot of these things that have come in your path, you know, since I think about 3 years ago. You know, I think we met up like 3 years ago or so, and, you know, your perspective, you know, now. And this is you. This is you thinking out loud. You understand what I'm saying? So you can attack it however you want to attack it. You know,
okay.
We can get into it.
Okay, well, yeah. I have, can we say, on the Black Power Trail for, I've been on, I I've been black power all my life. Let's just say that, all my life. Since I was a child. What really threw me into it full force was the murder of my significant other. He was shot in his back 6 times. And that was devastating. But it was like I never really got a chance to take it all in. It was like I jumped right into action with that. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. So I've been doing that. All of that happened. I really started like with like being a champion for black men in 2011. I think that's when I really started, when I really jumped into it full force and everything started opening, was when the plastic closed, which was in 2012. So I have been doing so much, and it was a lot that I learned. And so some of the things that I actually learned, I learned about the system a whole lot more. I understand it a lot more now, like how we think that laws and things have been done, places. Somebody should do something. So I was the one that was like, okay, it's going to be me. I'm going to do something. I'm going to change this. This is what's going to happen. Things didn't always go my way because the system, of course, is not set up in that manner, but they will give you the days, okay, the system will give you a lot of paperwork. They'll give you a lot of red tape. They'll put a lot of people in your path to block you. And I just want to say that for the most part, I have been extremely successful in all of the endeavors that I have set out on. Let's just say that. But once again, there have been people, the very people that I'm fighting for, the very people that I'm sitting beside, those are the ones that actually wanted to tie my hands behind my back and put the duct tape over my mouth. You understand? To shut me up and to cause confusion. You understand? To throw me off of my path. And for a very long time, that wasn't able to happen because I was focused and I knew where I wanted to be. I didn't exactly know how I was going to get to where I wanted to be, but I knew that I had to be in a place. I wanted to get the police fired. I wanted to get them put on trial for certain things. I wanted them the state's attorney out of office, different things. I wanted the laws changed. So the things, certain things that were going on, it was just a battle. I organized. We marched. We had rallies. I actually was in the 2015 Baltimore Youth Uprising. I was, like, there. And it actually started on a Saturday. I was there on a Saturday. And then again on that Monday when it was the brother Freddie's funeral, I wasn't at his funeral, but when everything jumped off, I was like right in the middle, which was I was in front of everyone's place, which is an African cultural center here in Baltimore City, where a lot of you can get a lot of things that you need, African centers, things of this nature, like books and videos and tapes, CDs, and clothing, and black soap. You name it. It's just a variety type of store, jewelry and things of nature, crystals, things that you would need to have your spirit succeed, okay? So that particular area, I was there, and things happened on Pennsylvania North Avenue. The CVS was set on fire. Went through all of that. There were certain rallies. People came here. Malik Abdul-Jabbar came here. I was supposed to be the MC for that particular rally, but I was taken off of it. I never got the story as to why I was taken off of it. Someone else was put on it. It's a little story behind that. What else have I done? We did get a law change here concerning the police. I ran for city council. I saw a 25-year-old missing person case, right? And the person was actually dead the whole time. I saw it in an hour and a half. And the family had been looking for like 25 years, right? So I saw it in an hour and a half. They kept contacting the police. The police never helped them. So we went a different avenue, and we found out that the person wasn't alive any longer. What else? It's just been a lot. It's been a lot. I've also headed other people's campaigns and things of this nature. Helped with people's foreclosures, credit. You name it. It just feels like I've done so much in such a little bit of a time. So when you have a woman that's out here on her own and all of these things are going on and I'm one person, I'm working, I'm going to school, I'm rallying, I'm fighting against the power, right, because I thought that's what we were supposed to do. That's what I wanted to do anyway, because like I said, I had something personally happen to me, and there were so many others here in Baltimore City that I thought that others would want to go in the direction that I was going in, right? Wrong. Okay? I couldn't have been more wrong. It was like, one of the mothers, she was the one who actually had the bill introduced in the House and the Senate here in Maryland. We had to go to Annapolis. We had to lobby. The first time the bill was rejected, they said no. The second time, after it was edited to the max, like almost everything was taken out of it, oh, that's when it passed. But the thing about it is, I did work on it. It didn't get passed. I can't say that, right? So we did that. After the mom received $1.2 million, we heard absolutely nothing from this woman ever again. I can't even tell you where she is or anything. I will call her name, but I'm not going to do that. And it's not necessarily because I wanted some of the money. No, I did not. But the thing about it is, that mindset, that particular action is what actually set the pace for everything else, right? That was pretty much how everyone was carrying it. As long as I get what I want, who cares about you? Because we're like, wait a minute, we have our stories. We want to do our bills and things of this nature. None of that happened. She did not reach back or reach black, all right? She was interested in what she had to do and how she wanted to move forward. See, she had a goal as well, right? She stayed focused. She didn't let anything get in her way, including the people that were actually helping her, okay? So she came. Her issue didn't. Her 17-year-old son was choked to death with an officer's bare hands, okay? And it did not happen in Baltimore City. But every time somebody wants to rally, every time someone wants to fight the power, they always come and get us, okay? Here in Baltimore City, always. Always, always, always. This woman did not live in Baltimore City, where her son was murdered by the police. It did not happen in Baltimore City, but we're like, okay, it happened in Maryland. We're still going to do, you know what I'm saying? We're still going to help. We're still going to, you know what I'm saying? We're going to embrace this mother because something has happened to her just like something has happened to me. Never do anything because something has happened to you and you want someone to do unto you as you do unto them. Okay? Let's keep that in mind. When you do something for somebody, make sure it's from the heart if you're not expecting anything back from it. Okay, because that's where you will go wrong. That's where you will get the breakdown. That's where you will get the burnout, okay? So if you want to help somebody or you want to do something, make sure it's because you want to do it, not because, you see what I'm saying, you're expecting something that others can't read your mind. You see what I'm saying? So if there's no agreement, I'm telling you now, don't do it unless you want to. So I did learn how to go to Annapolis. I did learn to lobby. So that's another skill under my belt. You know what I'm saying? We did a lot of town halls. We did a lot of meetings. We met with a lot of politicians. We met with people from Sweden, Spain, and just everywhere. People wanted to talk to us about the police brutality issue that was going on at that particular time. I've been in a lot of different magazines. I've been in a lot of articles and all over the world, my picture, everything. Now I wish I could just pull it all back and just not be out there like that. But it's a learning experience, and I shouldn't say I want to take it back or regret anything, because once again, it's all learning, because you only get to feel some hands-on, okay? So I wish I had been to a lot of these different places that my words have been, you understand? So I've pretty much traveled all around the world without even leaving Maryland, okay? So that's pretty interesting. I've gotten to meet a lot of different people. What I lie is the one, brother. A lot of people come through Baltimore City, and they do a lot of things here. I definitely appreciate that. Gotten to meet a lot of like-minded people. Everything has not been all bad. You see what I'm saying? We've had some good times. Like I said, I have achieved all of my goals. All right, all of my goals concerning the reason that I started, right, which was, once again, my significant other. That was the reason why I started in this in the first place. All of those goals have been accomplished, okay, 100%. Had a lot of help from a lot of different people, a lot of people that still have my back, that, you know, pretty much play the background and just watch. You understand? But I know they're there. A lot of people have passed on along this road as well. I definitely, Baba Curtis Bird, one of my ancestors at this point, someone who I definitely know is looking over me, always had my back, and he was a blind man, and at the point in time, he had cancer. I said cancer, and I didn't know, but he was 80-some years old. He would come to rallies. He was just always there for me, always. I could call him and talk to him. We'd talk for hours on the phone. I do miss him. I do miss speaking to him, because it's like I need a man to talk to him now. But, you know, a couple of the lessons that I learned from him, I definitely can reflect on at this point in time. You definitely have to get as much as you can while they are here. And once again, I didn't even know he had prostate cancer. You know what I'm like? You would have never known. He didn't tell anybody until it was really too much too late. You understand what I'm saying? So I can understand him wanting to be private, because that is a sensitive issue with men. And a lot of black men, here I go again, black men, have been my focus for a very long time. And prostate cancer was one of the reasons why I started focusing on black men in the first place in 2010, because a lot of black men weren't going to the hospital. Suicide was rising. The suicide rates were rising. Homelessness, joblessness. A lot of black men did not have their education as far as GEDs and things of this nature. I don't want to say education, because we all get education, right? But that particular piece of paper and things of this nature that was needed to obtain finances, right? Jobs and things of this nature. So I would help with that. That was the beginning of 2010, right? So that's where I started. And I started with the African American Men's Health Conference, and we had that 2 years in a row. One year we had it at Morgan, and the other year we had it at Morgan and Coppin, right? So that was dealing with the blood men and high blood pressure and things of this nature. A lot of men weren't even going to the doctors. So I really just wanted men to be healthy and strong because I seen what was happening within our families. It was important to me to at least help, you know, some of the men and things of this nature. If I can help this one, right, one and done. I've done my job and things of this nature. But when it was like when I was seeing things happen with the police on TV and I was seeing certain things, but it didn't necessarily click with me. But see, when something personally happens to you, that's when you start doing the research. That's when you start reading. That's when you start writing. That's when you start talking to people. That's when you start reaching out and looking for others, you know, to say, oh, like-minded. I was looking for like-minded people. What I actually found were people that had issues like mine, but we did not have like minds. Like, we didn't. The brain waves just wasn't there, okay? A lot of people felt intimidated by me. A lot of the women, because I can say that there were a lot of women that were fighting the power, right? There were a lot of women. There weren't that many men. And amongst the women, it was like each one of them wanted to be that one. You understand? Like the sister who got hers and got low. You understand what I'm saying? Like her. The bill was named after her son and things of this nature. So that's pretty much how everybody was like, well, I want that, but I want that. And I said, well, it's a weak thing if we're all trying to help each other, but a lot of the sisters. Can I just say that sisters are very territorial and that a lot of the sisters thought that their particular story was more important than someone else's, okay? When in all actuality, all of the stories were the same, all right? And I'm not just saying that to minimize their situation, but to actualize their situation, okay? Because there were thousands of us across this whole nation that were suffering in the same manner. And when you murder one man, just imagine the children, the wives, the sisters, the daughters, the mothers, the grandmothers, the fathers, the uncles, the cousins, the homies, the friends, things of this nature. All of these people that are actually by this one murder, right? A systematic murder of a black man. Okay, so we're saying, well, we need to protect the black man because the black man is going to, in effect, be the savior of our society. Why do we say the black man is going to be the savior? Because he can actually impregnate one or more women at a time. Okay? So he can go around and sow seeds, if you will, and save the society. But as we're looking around, this has not happened. A lot of us are, our families are in turmoil. We're unemployed. We have fewer and fewer opportunities that are being offered to us. And this is not a poor, woe is me type thing. I actually did go to school and things of this nature and graduated and have a couple of things that I was told would be beneficial to this society, right? So, no, it's not poor, it's me. It's not, I'm not saying this for you to feel sorry for anyone, but for you to feel motivated. I need this to motivate you, right? Because it is going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. It's just not. So my focus, my whole focus, I never ever focus on any women's issues at all. And the women are suffering. The women are suffering. And when I woke up out of my, let's say, black men, I saw the women were dying as well. A literal death and a virtual death. And an actual death, okay? So women are dying from broken hearts. You know, I know some women that have two of their children that have been murdered, or their husband has been murdered, and things of this nature. You cannot just get over something that's traumatic. And I think that all people have been told to just get over it. And we never filled in what it is. We never filled in what it is, so we never got to the root of how this process, okay, begins. Where's the middle and where's the end of it? Because we don't know what it is and how much it actually wrecks your life and how much you go through when certain things happen to you. As a black woman. So black women, the whole focus of the whole black issue is on black men, not black women. But black women are being blamed for the issues within the household because allegedly the man is missing. And this was all, of course, systematic. I understand. However, we do not know how to process all of this trauma. There's just one trauma after the next, and the only thing that we're telling each other is to get over it. Well, how about I'm underneath of it at a certain point, and when at a certain point, I don't know what to do. I don't have all the answers, even though everybody looks to me as if I do. And as if I have everything together and things, I don't. I don't know everything. You see what I'm saying? I don't have it together. So when you are the person that everyone goes to, who am I supposed to go to? You see what I'm saying? When I'm having an issue, when I'm feeling a certain way along this Black Power trail, when I'm feeling frail and weak and down and just sick, like physically sick. I never felt like that before, and I actually felt like my joints were hurting, my body was hurting, I was weak. I was in a bed, I couldn't move. When I breathed, it would hurt. That's how sick I was. That's how troublesome and how worried. I never knew. I knew you could get sick from certain things, but in that manner, I had no idea that I could ever feel like that. And I could feel like, you know what, I wasted 10 years of my life on a bunch of people that didn't even care if I was breathing. They didn't even care. You know, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, good job, you did it, yeah, you told them, you did this, you showed out at the meeting, you did this, oh, yes, you organized that, yes, this, everything was great, you, yes, oh, yes, Nikki, this, yes, call her, everything's so wonderful, but when it's not, you understand what I'm like, there's nothing, there's just get over it. So we have a whole issue that's going on with the system, so you know what to say, right? To fight the system and things of this nature, but when I'm telling you I'm having a personal issue that is stemming from what it is that we're fighting, you absolutely have zero to say. And when you do have something to say, it's in a blaming manner. It's an accusatory manner. It's all my fault. Well, nobody asked you to do that. You see what I'm saying? There's no reward. can I just say that there's no reward in black power for a black woman. Zero. You're going to be a hoe. You're going to be a bitch. You're going to be a bitch. You're going to be a liar. You're going to be accused of stealing money. You're going to be accused of anything. Just anything. All right, anything. If they feel, and I'm talking about other black people, if they're feeling that you are on top or you, and you're looking at them like, well, if you only knew how I had to climb, you understand? Or how low I had to go underneath of these, you know, like crawl under a car or something, you know, crawl under a rock. And I'm not a small woman, right? So you can just imagine me scraping up everything and then you looking at me with jealousy and envy in your eyes instead of saying, well, you know what? How did this happen? What were the steps that you took to do this? Because I want to do this too. And, you know, I want to get this started over here. How do I organize? How do I do this? No. That's not it. What they'll do is sit there. And they'll listen to you, and they'll talk to you, and they everything you say and do will and can be used against you. Okay? It can be used against you. It will be the people that are sitting right next to you, and they have gone to every meeting you have gone to. They are there for you. They have given you rights. They have made copies of flyers. They have passed them out. They have invited everyone. They have made sure that you actually had a space where you can invite the community in, and it will be behind closed doors, and you can actually have a meeting, and they will sit right there, and they will yes you, they will amen you, and the whole time is a plot against you to destroy you, to figure out how they can fit in to break you down after you had the whole entire world destroyed, right? This person knows how you got into everything that you're doing. You spoke to this person on a level of seriousness. There was no joking. The things you said, everything was serious because there's nothing funny about murder. There's nothing funny about going to the state's attorney's house and having a SWAT called on you. Like, it's nothing funny about snipers on the roof. It's nothing funny about any parts of anything that I have done. There were no fun parts, okay? There was nothing fun about it, all right? There was no celebration and ticker tape parade because, once again, this is about a murder. You will not be twerking, okay, at the repast. It won't happen. And if it does, I'm going to show you to the door. And when you have people with this mindset that are looking at you with green eyes, instead of saying, oh, my goodness, this woman has gone through all of that, and look at everything that she has accomplished. I'm so proud of her. I'm happy for her. There's nothing I want to do but protect this woman and make sure that no harm comes her way because she's been through so much already. No. None of that. All right? None of that. Now, let's be clear. Like I said, there are a ton of people that are on my side. They have my back 100%. I'm speaking in particular of one particular person, okay? One particular person. There have been several people, you see what I'm saying, like, that have done certain things. And I'm going to say this is one example of a woman that I had helped. And I had sent my credit card number over the phone because she wanted me to pay her bill. And I paid her bill. When I paid her bill over the phone, somehow or another, her bill continued to be paid with my credit card number, okay? Yeah, things like that. Now, I paid it because she was saying, like, they're not going to take cash. I can't go anywhere and do this. I need you to pay with your card, and I'll just give you the cash later. You see what I'm saying? That's the type of thing that I have been through. That's just one little instance. But this particular instance that I'm speaking of was with someone that was actually in the organization that I was in with me. Like I said, once again, somebody that I thought was a friend, somebody that told me they was a friend, somebody that said they were going to have my back, you understand? But the whole time, I was just a plot against me. And it was terrible. It was like the worst thing ever. I don't, and it's a man, okay? That's what made it even worse. You see what I'm saying? Once again, waste my whole life, somebody knowing, trying to help save black men. I have saved tons of black men. I just like to think that, like, for a long time, the police had let up off of black men. And I would like to think that I was a part of the reason why. You see what I'm saying? Because if something happens, I'm going to be at your door. I'm going to be wherever. I'm going to be at the precinct. I'm going to be where I need to be. You understand? That's what's going to happen. I'm going to bring some people with me. And that's what's going to happen. You see, and what goes on when we get there, I don't know. It's not like a plan. You know what I'm saying? It's just some of it was a plan. Some of it was. The idea was to make the system, the people that were working for the system, feel uncomfortable in their own homes. That's how you would go to their house. Well, I would go to their house. You see what I'm saying? Like, and they change the city ordinances before we get there. We gotta stand across the street. That's fine. You'll still see me. You'll still see me. So, to have a man prey on you as a woman, and this is one of the things that is not spoke about within this black power circuit, right? The men that are preying upon the sisters and the lack of accountability amongst brothers, the lack of morals and things of this nature, because it's like the brothers will be quiet, or if they do say something, they will put the responsibility back on you, or the accountability back on you. But if you don't know that this brother is lying to you, if you don't know that this brother is just set out scheming on you, that he is smiling in your face, but all the time he wants you to just lay on your back. You understand? He would rather see you on your back instead of seeing you on your feet. You see what I'm saying? Instead of him protecting you, right, he would rather see you destroyed. And there have been so many sisters that are like, yes, thank you so much for saying something about this, because it happened to me, and I was afraid to say something because a lot of the men and a lot of the women was like, oh, you were just, you know, loose and things of this nature. Whatever the new times are during that time when something happened to these particular women, that's what was used against them. And so their silence became their violence against themselves. Oh, you'll be called a bitter black woman. You'll be called angry, but you will never get to the core, once again, as to why you're bitter, black, and angry. You will never say, okay, it's because of this man right here. He set me up. He pretended to be my friend. He lied to me. We're talking about fraud, okay? We're talking about an assault here, a physical assault. Because, in other words, if he was not who he said he was and he wasn't telling the truth, it becomes an assault, because in any other time, you would have never went along. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you do. Maybe you didn't. But listen, so it's a lot of sisters that are being used, because the men will sit there and they will yes you and nod up and down with their heads and things of this nature, but the whole time in their mind, they're figuring out how to go around your morals, how to get around your standards. how to devalue your value, okay? And be like, oh, she's just a regular woman. She ain't nothing. You shouldn't respect her. She's on my dump. She's on my headboard. Or whatever the cool terminology is at that time, right? Whatever it is. Now, brothers, we understand that you're having a hard time, but you don't get to come back to us and take it out on us. You don't get to see, as an older man, you could be 50 years old, you don't get to see if you still got it. And use the sisters as your pawns in a sick teenage game. You see what I'm saying? Oh, who's the big man on campus? I never understood. How is it that the woman is supposed to be the weaker sex? How do you as a man feel built up and powerful by breaking down a woman? How does that work? I want to know. How does that work? The sister is a hoe. She's a thot. She's a slut. She's all of these names, but there are absolutely no names for men that are doing the exact same thing. Not saying that because men and women are doing the same thing that it should be done. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there are more derogatory terms for women. You can probably fill up pages. Okay, of the terminology that is used against black women to describe black women, to demean a black woman's existence, okay, than there is for a man. A man is a pimp. Now, when did a pimp become something good? A man is a player. You got to target to the game. You want to see if you still got it. And to do that, you pull down your pants and you have sex with a woman. You transfer energies with the woman. You chase a woman down, and the only thing that you want to do is what? How does that build your characteristics as a man? How does that build your skills as a man? Because these are predatory practices that I'm speaking of. That it has happened to me. That it has happened to other women. And so some women even have said, well, you didn't have to pull your big drawers down. I said, oh, really? Well, how about this man could have been a stand-up man and could have actually told the truth, and I could have participated in something that was meant to be something more than a chess game. Something that I said, listen, this is what this is for. When a woman's okay, this is what this is for. This is what sex is for. I'm straight black pot. The black man and the black woman equals a black child. That I want this, and this for me. All right? Other things I'm not with. I'm not with white sex and European sex and things of this nature. I'm not with it. These are the type of morals and values that I have. This is what I do. If you're messing with the one woman and you're in a serious relationship with her and things of this nature, I don't want to mess with you. I don't want to talk to you in that manner. Because people will say, well, why didn't you just tell them and set it up and not set it up, but, you know, let them know what your morals are. But see, the thing about it is this person knew what the morals and values were because, once again, they were always around me, always speaking to me. We always talked. We always were in the same setting. So it wasn't a secret. You see what I'm saying? So now, me as a woman, for shame to the family. See, sometimes people just, oh, it's not that important. It is that important. Because I'm all I've had. My body is my temple. This is all I have to live with. This is all I have to breathe with. you do not get to violate. And so if I let you in, then that definitely means something. You see what I'm saying? You don't get to devalue a woman in that manner. Now, you know the difference between certain women and things of this nature, but nobody that knows me thinks of me as some hoe and sleeping around and sexual and things of this nature. I don't even get into that type of conversation. Those conversations are not had in public settings. I don't dress a certain way. I don't act a certain way. This man knew this. There was no doubt in this man's mind. He knew he did something wrong. And it was a setup from beginning to the end. So in that manner, the men that sat beside him were supposed to check him. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But it was a learning experience. I found out a lot. I found out a lot about me. I found out where I went wrong. I found out about submission, right? Because a lot of people will have this conversation about submitting to men. Women should submit to men. But the thing about it is submitting to the wrong man. See that part of the conversation is not brought up, right? They just want to know when you could submit and how low can you go. Okay. So it's been a long road. At this point, it has gotten to a point where I'm done, right? I'm done with everything. I really have backed off a lot of it. I've been disheartened with it. I can say that this last particular instance that actually happened with this man really hit to the core as to why we as an entire people have not moved forward. And that we are holding each other back. That we are saying things and we're not keeping our word, because our word is our bond. We have lost the moral fabric of our Black society. We really have. We don't even have a general way to greet each other. You see what I'm saying? When you come across certain people now, it's just venom. It's vile. It's nastiness. Disgusting. I've met so many nasty people with their attitudes just down, just low, just want to see how much they can get out of you and then throw you to the side, just use you up and abuse you and just wonder why they're having so much bad luck, why so many bad things are coming in their direction. I do believe that the Black man is the head of the family, that the Black man is God. That's my God, right? That's my religion. The Black man and the Black woman, equal in a Black child, with a world without end, right? Life everlasting in a world without end. That's what I worship. That's my religion. Every single day, that's it. But we cannot stand each other. And that's a problem. We don't know what to do. We have never been healed from the trauma that just happened 5 minutes ago before someone else is having another trauma. And then your trauma gets forgotten, and then you're thinking about their trauma, and then something else happens, and we just keep moving on, and nothing else ever gets solved. Now, this particular man that has done something to me, is the worst ever. I mean, it just felt like the worst thing ever because he wasn't older than me. Because I did trust him. You see what I'm saying? So now my trust is broken. I'm not believing in certain things any longer. There is only one religion for me, and that's the black man and the black woman equaling the black child. That's life right there. Me breathing should be the most important thing, not only on my mind, but on this man's mind. Instead of saying, oh, well, you got to do what you got to do, and I got to do what I got to do. Oh, well, I did that to you, so what? Get over it. I don't owe you anything. I didn't promise you anything. That's when the man loses focus, that you transfer energy between each other when certain actions happen. Between the two, that's what's supposed to happen between a man and a woman. There's nothing wrong with a man and a woman being together. There's nothing wrong with a man liking a woman. There's nothing wrong with you knowing that this man likes this woman. It's nothing wrong with it. Because that's what we were put on this earth to do. But why is it so much cooler for you to break a universal law and think that you're going to get away with it and ride off into the sunset with someone else? It doesn't work like that. You will pay for your transgressions. And I'm going to sit back and relax. That's just how it's going to go. You will reap what you sow. You will definitely. That just goes to show you how much this person actually thought of me. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So that's how things go. If this man wasn't somebody that I just met off the street, I knew him for years. It's a lot more to it, of course. Why is that the straw that broke the camel's back? Because of the level of trust, because of the level of honesty, because of the high standard that I keep myself. You understand what I'm saying? If you can get me to a certain point, then that's where I'm at. You see what I'm saying? But it was false. And I couldn't see that it was false. Why? Because I'm not Dionne Warwick. You understand? I'm not a psychic friend around here. That's why. That's why I didn't know it was a lie. That's why I didn't know it was false. Because this man was the only one that knew it. You understand what I'm saying? I cannot control what another man does. I cannot control what anyone else does except for myself. As long as I keep myself, you understand, with my head up, with my values intact, with my morals intact, then I'm good. There's no blaming me for some plot and plan that another man had for me. You don't get to do that. You can try, but you're going to fail. Because in that instance, you're going to say that I'm pretty much a psychic and I actually set myself up for failure. That I actually helped this man do it. How? I did it unknowingly. Unwittingly. So when the trust is broken, when the seal is broken, it's broke. I mean, what can you do with that? What can you do with a seal that's broken? You can't put it back. It's broke. The trust is broke. Will there be unity? No. That word gets on my nerves. There will be no unity. Will there be black unity? No, there will not. Is there black love? No, there's not. You only tolerate certain things until you cannot tolerate it any. And that's in a nutshell, without going into detail, that's where I'm at with it. Am I still Black Power? Of course. The only thing that we need is each other, Black people. We have everything that we need. But for some odd reason, you don't believe it. So if you don't believe it, we can achieve it. How about that? But Brother Knowledge, are you there? I don't know. It's 10:07 on the dot. That's special date and time. Okay, 10:07. Brother Knowledge.
I am listening and enjoying this Thinking Out Loud series. This is the way to kick it off. Okay? That's why we got Max B up in here. It's justice laying down the standard. Okay? So we got a two-tier program right here for people that are listening and people that will come on. First, I have to say we got some dynamic sisters that will be coming on these next weeks. You know, the first is Miss Justice. Next, we got Queen Mother Africa coming on next week. The weekend, the Thursday after that, we got Keisha Forrester coming on. And the week after that, we close out the month of Black August with National Chairwoman Crystal Muhammad. So we got some serious, serious folk coming on here. And we're going to think out loud. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to think out loud together. Justice is building, showing the trajectory and showing how to overcome adversity and not really lose sight of the vision. As painful as these betrayals and these atrocities have been, we still found a way to maintain the focal point on the goal. And all I can do is extend my sincere apologies on behalf of the real ones out here who took these scars and these bumps and these bruises and, you know, these setups and these backstabbing and all of that with you. You see what I'm saying? In the same process. And all we could do is be renewed in our laudable pursuit towards the liberation of our people, you know, as a collective. I wouldn't say as a whole. I say as a collective, those who agree, that collective, who's prepared to do that work. What does it look like for you going forward since you're still thinking out loud, whatever you want to say out loud in regards to your trajectory moving forward, the direction, your focal point, some of the things that you are working on that you can share with us, what can the family look forward to from Sister Nick Justice in the future?
The future is there right at this point in time. It's somewhere out there. As far as, again, giving my all and things that I need, no, that's not going to be a part of my future at all. I'm not going to say never, but at this point in time, I think I have to go forward and figure what I need and to make sure I get it. And that has nothing to do with anyone else. That has nothing to do with anybody's struggle and things of this nature. I shouldn't have to. I wasn't born to struggle. Like, I'm just tired of it. I'm just sick of it. It does not feel good. What am I planning? I don't want to tell my plans. I don't want to say my plans. There's people are praying against me, and I don't want you to know. You know, I just don't. And at this point in time, I just don't care. Like I used to at all. I do know that within any battle, there's always going to be a Judas. Okay, there's always going to be a Judas. Whether it's for the 40 pieces civil, just for personal purposes. You understand? It's always going to be a backstab and things of this nature. And I do understand if you're ready, then you don't have to get ready. But at some point in time, when I want to be relaxed, when I just want to lay down and just go to sleep, you know, that place used to be my grandmother's, right? I could just go down there and get in my bed and lay down. It's gone. You see what I'm saying? So at this point in time, you're like, well, maybe you should have figured it out. You're a certain age. You should have worked out. Just figure it out. You know, and these kinds of suggestions over a whole entire lifetime has gotten me to right now. Because if I got to figure it out, then I'm just going to figure it out on my own, within my certain type of way, within my own time. As far as my plans are going to be for me. because what the universe has for me, it is definitely for me. I do feel that there will be some sunshine. There will be a vacation. There will be a time when I can just rest and relax and I can enjoy the fruits of my labor. You understand what I'm saying? Instead of just, you know, as soon as I get the money in this hand, it's going out in that hand to somebody else or something and things of this nature. I do feel that will be somewhere I don't know where. At this point in time, I don't know with who. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't see happiness. I don't see joy. I don't see black love. I post it everywhere, but I don't believe it. I don't believe in love. I never believed in love. Let's just be clear. I never believed in love. I never have believed in love. I just think, because I always ask people, well, what is it? You know what I'm saying? And it's like Santa Claus around here. Nobody knows. They'll describe something, but they never can actually define what love is. So I'm like, well, I'm not seeing it. I've never experienced it. I don't think I've ever had it. And some people will say, well, you went that hard for this man. You know, when he was murdered by the police, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't think that there is love as far as we need to survive as a people, and somebody did something to me and my family, and to this man, he's dead, feeling 6 hot bullets in his back, and things were said about him. You know, it just was not right. I don't think that that was necessarily love. I don't think I did it for love. You see what I'm saying? So, as far as being with black people, it's like nobody else I would rather be with. There's nobody else I will never be with the others and things, because if this is what y'all do as black men, then what will I expect from the systematic man? You see what I'm saying? So at this point, a cat is looking like a cat, I don't know, a kennel, I don't know. You see what I'm saying at this point? I don't have too many plans for black liberation or anything in that manner. It's nothing nobody can say. It's nothing nobody can do. You can't make it better. I do appreciate your apology. You don't have to apologize. Of course, you know that already. I definitely appreciate it. It's accepted. But, of course, you weren't the one that did what was done. You see what I'm saying? I definitely appreciate you, Brother Knowledge, for being alive, because I have been able to be candid with you and been able to speak to you on a personal level. I definitely appreciate that about you. And I think it's something like about your voice and like how calm you are, you know, because I'm always so like, rah, rah, rah. But now I'm just like, oh, like, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. You see what I'm saying? content, but I definitely appreciate you allowing me to come on here and talk about the experiences that I've had with black men, in general. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. You always have good information. You always have great advice. I definitely appreciate that. I like how you listen. And it is like you're a therapist. You know what I mean? I definitely appreciate that 100%.
Well, that's all good. I mean, this is thinking out loud. So this platform has helped me kind of come back out of a dark place that I was in, you know, just even with the start of the show. And, you know, we've been on 4 years this month, our four-year anniversary celebration will be on the 25th. So myself and the Black Dot will be in the building. Got some stuff we're going to be doing over there on here that day. I don't know. You never know with the celebration days who's going to call in, what's going to be. But, you know, the focal point would be talking with someone who was my guide earlier on in, you know, the conscious community. You know, I grew up in the conscious community, but someone who was like a guide, like a male figure that was a guide, you know, early on to a lot of us, directly and indirectly. So, you know, to collab, we go back about 12 years. And, you know, it's just good opportunity to be able to sit down and peel back the layers and see. And he has been a supporter of the platform since the first episode. So he's been around for 950-something episodes.
A lot of episodes.
It was amazing to see. He was on the first episode, the seventh episode, and a couple more subsequently after that. So every year around this time, his birthday is on the 29th. So we always do something like around the 29th to 30th, somewhere in between there. I think actually his birthday is the 27th. Yeah, it's the 27th. 29th is the actual four-year episode anniversary day of the show. That's the four-year, but our celebration will be on the 25th. So, you know, maybe the people, they'll be tuning in. It'll be Sunday. It'll be 3 p.m. You see what I'm saying? And then folks can start watching Power later on. I think it'll come out that day. They can start watching Power after that.
Power. Another example of black men, right? Another example.
Right. Another good example of a bad example. Yeah, right.
Definitely.
In that mode, just, you know, looking to continue to grow and continue to improve. So with some of these sessions, thinking out loud, there'll be opportunities for you to just express yourself and vent and let it go. So, you know, you don't have to put it on Facebook and not somebody not bringing it up later on, trying to indict you on some shit. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so we can have it here in a safe place, in a safe space, and continue to move forward. And the other aspect of this particular platform, Thinking Out Loud Thursdays, will be with some people a strategic planning session. So, you know, brothers and sisters, they got ideas. They got motivations, they got aspirations, they got goals, they got things that they want to move closer to. The research will be done to help them come up with a strategic plan to be able to move closer to those goals. So anybody who's interested in that opportunity, all they have to do is email me, donowsradio@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter, @nowis115 on Twitter, or Instagram. Now the phone line 357 on Instagram, and let me know. We can set up some scheduling time, and, you know, put you in line with some ideas and things like that for you to be able to move closer towards your goal, you know. So those strategic planning sessions, we'll kind of do, we can do them, you know, on air so people can kind of get the gist. However, they won't get everything on air because we are not doing those for free. You know, it'd be like some type of donation that's involved. You understand what I'm saying? Because of the time and the effort. And it goes to helping with some of these community projects and initiatives that we are involved in, back to school drives, scholarships, things like that. So it's not something that's self-serving. It's something to use what's there to help people move forward and throw the rope back and help someone pull themselves up. So it'll be a good opportunity for those people who don't, who have ideas that they want to be able to implement them, or people that are already doing things and want to know how to improve on them. You know, just doing a skills analysis or needs assessment and see, you know, where you are and to see how many more things can be brought out of that thing that you do. So if you're like, hey, I'm a dancer and that's all I know how to do now, I guarantee you that there's some other things that you could be doing in the realm of dancing that can help you out. You see what I'm saying? So he's like, just for instance, I'll just use that example, a dancer. So a person who's been dancing, oh, how long you been dancing? Oh, 10 years. Oh, let me write that down. Okay. Who have you danced for? Oh, I was in this video, that video, blah, blah, blah. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, did you go to school? Oh, yeah, I went to school. And such, who did you study under? Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm asking these questions, and then I'm going to come back and say, hey, did you ever think about teaching people how to dance? Where can you go teach people? You can go to community centers. You can go to after-school programs. All of these things right here, initially, to get your name out there and build up a book of business. And then you say, I'm going to have these dance lessons now. So you're giving back and using your gifts and your talents, and you're still doing something that you're passionate about or you spent time in to be able to do. You see what I'm saying? So now, oh, if you can teach dancing, can you talk about dancing? Yeah, did you ever think about writing a book? Oh, I never thought of that. You understand what I'm saying? Did you ever think about doing a podcast interviewing other dancers or aspiring dancers? You see, all of that happened in a few seconds, Nikki, just a few seconds. There's somebody thinking about what they're thinking about, but having a person with an objective view to be able to bring some of these things out of you and, you know, confirm some of the things you might have had in your head. This is why it's thinking out loud. You see what I'm saying? This is why it's thinking out loud. So you're thinking out loud.
I'm thinking out loud right now. So, I'm drawing a blank at this point. I'm not drawing a blank at this. This is difficult being black. This is hard. That's why it always takes a village, because what you're speaking of is it takes a village, right, to raise.
Right.
You know, in this particular instance, not necessarily a child, but a birthing a thought or birthing a new path or a new journey and things of nature.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's the same kind of process.
And I need you to help with that evaluation session to bring everything out. But at this point, I'm just like, good luck with that. That's where I'm at with it, because it's like black people always think, you know, that your services are supposed to be free. Like, so I'm talking about all of these things that I've done over the years, and I'm trying to think, like, what part of that was supposed to be free? You know what I mean? Like, what part was, okay, so then if it's not free, then they want to say you're scamming. Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Once again, you're This is all negative. I'm trying to think of a good, some good points or some fun we've had. I'm talking about along this particular journey. I'm not talking about like in my personal life, but like some fun or some where it was happy or joyous and things of nature. I can only think of funerals. I can only think of maids and beatings, stitches, hospital visits. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what was good. And some people will be like, oh, well, you're breathing, ain't you? Oh, yeah.
You had to run down with Renee. That was good. You had to run down with Renee. You had to thing with Renee in a cycle. You had some times where, you know, you was doing what you needed to do aside from what you was doing. You know, there's times with people. And that was one of the reasons why I started celebrating milestones on the show. Because, you know, you get... Sometimes people are not going to celebrate you. You know what I mean? They're not going to celebrate you.
Right.
It's your dream. It's your vision. It's your goal. It's your aspiration. And, you know, you got to, you know, put on for yourself sometimes. You see the change. So it's like, oh, snap, you did 100 episodes. Okay. 100 episode show. Oh, damn, it's been a year? Oh, okay. Oh, 200 episodes, 300 episodes, 2 years, 3 years? Oh, snap. We won an award. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we got nominated for 2 more awards. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, I guess, you know, this is an award-winning platform now. I got to, you know, put that and nominate it for 2 other awards. It's just interesting, you know, how you do and, you know, that people find value in what you do. This was the kind of the purpose of these award platforms. At least from the thought forms, when they were thought forms. You see what I'm saying? Until it became something else, you know. But folks need to be celebrated. You know, Dr. Lenny Jeffries got that award. He ran up on the stage, and he's in his 70s. You know, look how long he's been around and what he's been doing. And nobody thought to do anything with him and his wife. You see what I'm saying? As much as they gave, you know, Dr. Ashwat Crazy and his wife. You know, Bob Rudy and his wife. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So many of those we watch in transition. You see what I'm saying? With no one in their lane to honor them and to celebrate them. Dr. Wilson, you know, Dr. Ben. So like Dr. Amos Wilson, you know, so many of them, you know, they were vehemently hated by their peer group, you know, with a passion, and they stayed away from Dr. Collett. They stayed away from him. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. So you have to find some kind of balance in it, some peace, you know. This is Dr. Mutula Shakur Day. Yesterday was Jonathan Jackson Day. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to find some peace in it. You have to find some calmness in it and make your own celebrations, your own cultural observance, you know, and find a way through the muck and the mire and the madness because, you know, it is hell out here for a lot of us. You see what I'm saying? And we come from ancestral generations where they faced hell. But they all found a way to find some reason for the season to celebrate. So we have to continue on in that tradition. Honorable Martin Zia Garvey, one of the days starting off of the month, you know, had 100,000 people come to Harlem to hear him speak. And what you think after what they did after he was done speaking? They was partying. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, gatherings, celebration, family, mm-hmm. you know, these things that are the core foundation of us. You know, these are simplistic things that we can return to, you know. And it's, you know, crazy because oftentimes we got to be leery around our loved ones or people that we allow into our circles and things like that. It's just shameful. You see what I'm saying? And it's the, you know, reality many of us are living based off of our, the work that we've done and our interactions with people. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, what is Maria thinking about right now? You know, what are the rest of those black political prisoners, what are they thinking right now? Like, I gave my life up for this shit.
Right.
I don't get a letter. I don't get a visit. I don't get nothing.
That's,
you know, but they don't even know. Like, memories was wiped out around, you know, and strategically people was taken out of here. And the ones that came after them said, nah, I can't even go nowhere near none of that.
Right.
And they raised their children and didn't teach them anything about it. And they probably was right there around with all this stuff happening and just completely oblivious to what's going on or so afraid that they couldn't even fathom trying to be involved. They showed the elder sister. She was one of the survivors from the town Rosewood that they did the movie out. And
mm-hmm.
she said she never told her children or their children. She never told them.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Because look at that trauma that's
right.
associated with them. But she was so afraid for them that she didn't tell them. You see? So how much of that is lost in translation? So, you know, these horrific experiences and all of these things, they come around and they befall us and we inherit them,
yeah.
you know, just by our very existence. So we have to find a way to work through those things and continue on with our mission. So I appreciate you for being the first person to come think out loud on this series right here, taking time out of your schedule, you see what I'm saying, to speak over here. You know, to come out hiatus and speak over here, I'm proud. You understand?
Okay.
You could have been like, whatever, Nalis, I'm good. Later for all that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I kind of told you that, but you kind of convinced me. So I kind of was like, look, I ain't trying to get into that. I ain't worried about them. But I definitely appreciate you having me on the very first Thinking Out Loud. Definitely shout out to Sister Renee Black. Okay. If you guys are flying, protect Sister Renee Black out on the graphic. Okay. Sister Renee Black. That's on Facebook. Sister Renee Black graphic on Facebook. And also shout out to Brother Psychopathian. Check him out on YouTube as well. Definitely. It's some of us that's been hung in there. You know that we all have gone through some things. I might feel differently later. I doubt it. But at this point in time, this is how I know. This is what I know. This is what I'm living and being. Actually saving my life in danger. Actually putting everything on the line for somebody that just does not care. You see what I'm saying? There will be no reward, okay? Like Brother Nara said, if you don't celebrate yourself and things in the future, there will be no reward. Because a lot of us are, I think that fear factor is what it is. Because at some point in time, I was fearless. I just didn't really, things really didn't affect me. But now, once I have had this issue happen, it's like I'm seeing things in even a different light than what I was seeing before. My past is different now, okay? My My path is different. I'm still full black people and things to say, but I'm very scary. I'm not saying I'm afraid. It's not anything that I'm too much afraid of. It's not. It's a lot of things that happen that does not make it to the news. A lot of things that you're not going to know about. It's a lot of things I'm not going to talk about. I can understand that sister not talking about what happened in Rosewood, because who protected those people? Let's be serious and honest. You see what I'm saying? That she had to carry that, and then she carried her children, her grandchildren. Like you said, that fear is in those children, but they don't even know what it is. They can't identify it. They know they're feeling a certain way. There's some things happening, but they can't articulate it because they don't know. They don't know, and I think that trauma does travel on our DNA at this point in time. It's just been one trauma after the next. And it's like, how do you get excited when the sister was shot twice, or the brother is dead, or his four-year-old son is dead? And, I mean, where's the happiness? Where's the love? Where's the joy that we're supposed to have? I can understand accomplishing goals, because death is not necessarily attached with certain feelings. Like if you write a strategic plan down, you're not going to put your feelings on there. You're just going to put your goals and your objectives, your map, right? That's what you're going to do for you to get to where you need to be. You're going to draw your map. So that doesn't necessarily say the potholes and the trains and the cars and the bicycles and plane crashes and the bombs, I mean, that are just going on around everywhere, every which way, in the air we're breathing. I mean, it's just so depressing. It's depressing. And I'm just thinking, like, this cannot be it. This cannot be it. So, if you think like going out on dates, can I just tell this real quick story? Now, I just went out on a date with another man. We get out on a date. A first date, this man doesn't even know me. So he's like, okay, the bill comes. He's like, oh my goodness, I don't have it. Can you follow me to the bank? So I had to end up paying, then I had to end up following him to the bank. And then it just felt like, it was going to work out to something else. Like there was some scam in there. He could have been honest about it because he was trying to transfer some money or something like this, that, and the other. I just felt like he was trying to get me involved in something. He did give me the money back. He did give me it. And thanks for the sleeper. So maybe it wasn't a scam, but I was just thinking, like, you know, I will run him over. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know, but it was just weird. So, needless to say, I never spoke to him again. I don't have any interest. I just feel like it was a scam. I never had anything happen like that to me. But I do know that I have seen certain scams be run on people where they'd be like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to pay you back, and do pay you back, and then they ask you, come back and ask for something bigger later. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt like a setup. So now at this point in time, I'm just looking at everything as a scam. Like, my thinking, everything is off. I feel confused. I feel, I feel very defensive at this point in time. So, kind of cloudy. I don't know how to, but yeah, I did recently have a date. He was 30 minutes late. I mean, it was just a lot of little things. And it was like, when you see and feel these certain things, like, listen to them. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm doing at this point in time. So you ask me what's in my future. I'm going to listen to those red flags and those bells and those whistles. That's what I'm going to do, knowledge. Soon as something comes up, I'm getting up out of there, okay? I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm just going to go in a different direction. I'm gonna make sure that I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be a lot more defensive. Than I was before. I'm gonna protect me a whole lot more. So you ask me what are my plans? There's a few of them. That's a few of them. There, you know, Trump wants to build a wall. Well, I built a wall. Okay.